As the debt ceiling drama continues, the ratings agencies are stealing the spotlight.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, they're threatening to downgrade the U.S., but why do rating agencies like Moody's and S&P still wield such influence despite some pretty high-profile mistakes? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are lower right now. The Dow down 80 points at 12,399. The NASDAQ down about 0.5%. Same with the S&P 500. Still no bids for Borders Bookstore, which heads to a bankruptcy court auction tomorrow. The key numbers to remember if there is a Borders liquidation: 11,000 employees and 400 more empty big box stores. Now let's get to the debt ceiling debate in Washington. The House is working this week on a Tea Party-backed plan that would raise the debt ceiling in exchange for steep cuts. That plan appears to have little chance of passing the Senate. The Senate, meanwhile, is working on a plan that would give President Obama the authority to raise the debt ceiling without help from Congress. But the rating agency S&P says without a big deal of long-term deficit reduction, they're going to downgrade the U.S.'s credit rating even if the debt ceiling is raised. So let's get to talking about that now with Julia Coronado. She is chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, and she's with us live from New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, do you think, Julia, that S&P would really follow through and downgrade the U.S.?
Well, S&P has sort of painted itself into a bit of a corner. It's taken a strong stance. It's said that it's not about just the debt ceiling and raising the debt ceiling, but about getting some longer-term fiscal credibility in place. And given what's happening in Washington, that's looking less likely. Now, they've given themselves a bit of wiggle room in terms of the timing, but I think it's, in some senses, just a matter of time before they're forced to make good on their promise and downgrade the U.S.
And what kind of an effect would a downgrade have?
Well, you might think that ratings agencies' moves like this aren't news, that we already know whatever S&P knows. But on the other hand, there's a lot of structures in financial markets built around these ratings. So, for example, some funds that are tied to S&P ratings could be forced to liquidate their treasury portfolios if they follow through with the downgrade. And that could lead to some disorderly conditions in financial markets.
And, Julia, the S&P, the rating agencies like S&P, Moody's, and Fitch famously made some big mistakes with mortgage-backed security ratings leading up to the financial crisis. Why is it that they have such credibility still?
Well, I think that this is a story of human frailties. This is inertia at work. While we all learned during the financial crisis that the rating agency model is basically broken, it's just there's so much built around it, so many structures, so many just the way we do business is built around these ratings that we just didn't move away from it, even despite the crisis. And so here we are again with another uncomfortable situation that could end up biting us in a little bit.
Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, thanks so much as always.
My pleasure.
Well, shares in Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation dropped to a two-year low in Australia today. That's because the phone hacking scandal in the UK could end up derailing a deal to purchase a TV channel down under. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
Investors are worrying about the reputational damage to the worldwide Murdoch brand. The fear is that doubts about illegal news gathering may infect the hundreds of newspaper titles his companies own in Australia, Britain, and the United States. But the really primal fear is focused on News Corp's TV interests, mainly Fox in the United States and B-Sky B in Britain. Between them, these companies generate the bulk of News Corp's revenue. Fox seems secure. Analysts say Washington would be unlikely to challenge News Corp's control. But B-Sky B is different. Analyst Chris Goodall says there is a possibility that after the phone hacking scandal, Britain's broadcast regulator could decide that News Corp should not own any part of a TV station in Britain.
The threat of losing all or part of its shareholding in B-Sky B must represent News Corp shareholders' worst nightmare.
Within 5 years, B-Sky B is expected to double its revenues and make the same sort of profits as the whole of News Corp put together. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Today is a particularly important blood drive day at many American Red Cross centers. That's because the Red Cross is short on blood. Donation levels in May and June were at the lowest levels in a dozen years. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
When you donate blood, you're doing good. No doubt about it. But when you sit down and a nice lady sticks that needle in your arm, you're letting her drain away some pretty valuable stuff. Take a unit of red blood cells, which is about a pint.
Now in the United States, it's over $200.
Dr. Dan Waxman heads America's Blood Centers, a group of independent blood banks. Centers, including his and the Red Cross, are nonprofits. They depend on volunteers for blood donations, but they charge hospitals for that donated blood.
Blood centers must be able to offset their expenses.
They've got to pay staff, run tests, rent space. And the cost of blood goes up again at the hospital. A recent study found patients pay about $340 a unit. Of course, there's also a value for the donator. Stephanie Million is with the Red Cross.
Their incentive is knowing that they're helping someone in need.
And maybe they'll get a cookie. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, a Boston Bruins hockey player named Nathan Horton was relying on JetBlue yesterday to get his wife and the Stanley Cup trophy from Boston to Buffalo. He wanted to show it off at his hometown parade just over the border in Canada. But his wife arrived at the airport too late to get the Stanley Cup through security for an 8 a.m. flight. So the cup missed the 11 a.m. parade. It caught a later flight and arrived by 2:30. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Shoplifting comes to $12 billion a year in this country, but times are hard. Surely people are just trying to get by.
It's not driven by need, as in Jean Valjean, I'd like to steal a loaf of bread.
Oh. I'm Kai Rizdahl, the psychology of shoplifting. Next time on Marketplace, we'll have the day's business news as well, the numbers from Wall Street, too. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.